Dude, I feel left out. Normally I'm like, it's beanie weather, but like right now it's like 70, and I'm not wearing a beanie when it's 70. That's just cruel and unusual punishment.
Yeah, honestly, it's been really cold here, and like, I don't know. I wouldn't say really cold because it. Well, you've been up here. Even I think in the South too, it's like that. But like, 50 degrees in the winter is different than 50 degrees in the sun, because
Oh, yeah.
obviously, the Earth is farther away from the sun, guys. If you didn't know that, and I don't even know what class that is, science class, astrology, whatever. But
I think science. Yeah,
yeah,
that sounds right.
so yeah, so it's like. Today it's like, oh, a high of 58, but like I have a beanie on, it's cold, there's no sun, the wind is chilly and nippy, versus like in May or April when it's like, a high of 58,
Yeah.
it's like nice. I would wear shorts, but now I have
There's a
my beanie.
difference between fall 50 and spring 50. I got you.
Yeah, exactly. So you're gonna have to start wearing your beanies because it has officially be beanie season up here, and I now do this. I have like a heating pad that I just sit
Bitch, I have a heating pad only when my muscles need soothed.
I do it because I'm cold. I don't know. This is like my first winter where I haven't been a fat ass, so I feel really cold. I'm like, look, I mean, I was really fat for Hashimoto's for so long, and then I was pregnant and postpartum last winter, so
That's
this one.
true.
I'm actually like kind of have a level of leanness to me, and I'm like, this is weird. Like, I haven't. The last time I was this lean was my last prep when I was reversing through the holidays, because my prep
Dude,
ended in October.
that's wild. I was actually reflecting myself because I was like, we always host Thanksgiving and normally we do like this big thing and we still are having like a nice meal or whatever. But I was like, sweetheart, I really don't want to do charcuteries this year. And I was like, him and hawing about like the money and stuff like that, because usually the charcuteries cost just as much, if not more, than like the main Thanksgiving meal. Cause, we can like buy in bulk at Costco, but like I don't want a billion fucking crackers for charcuterie. Like I don't even eat
Yeah.
crackers. So I don't want just like all of this shit. And I was like, but like, why don't I want to do it? And I'm like, it's because this is the first time in probably 5 or 6 years that I'm not dieting through Thanksgiving and Christmas. And my fat ass just doesn't want to eat more food.
I feel that it's tempting. It really is.
Dude, absolutely. It's like, oh, it's just Thanksgiving. It's a special day. So I have the charcuteries, and even like my charcuteries wouldn't be like crazy, but still, I'm like, I just don't want to, I don't want the obligation of having to eat more food. Like, I just don't fucking want it.
Yeah, no, I totally understand that. Like, holidays are hard, and I think they're difficult for everybody, to be honest with you. I've struggled multiple times. I have clients that are already getting nervous about it. You've dieted through it. I'm trying to think. I've actually prepped through holidays too. My first prep was a holiday.
That's pretty impressive for your first prep.
Yeah, I started prep like, I don't know, beginning of November, or yeah, I think it was after Halloween. It was after Halloween. So I prepped Thanksgiving and Christmas, and then I don't know, I guess New Year's, if people really care for that, I guess, because it's like all champagne and drinks and stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, I prepped all of that. I prepped all the way till April. So I wonder if Easter was in there too. I don't even know.
It might have been because Easter's
Yeah.
either in like April or sometimes March.
Dude, it's like whenever it wants to be. And it's like not even close. Like Thanksgiving, is always the last Thursday. So it's like whatever. But like, dude, Easter could be a whole fucking month. It's
Easter
weird.
has its own just like it has no rules.
Seriously, it does not. It literally doesn't even care. But yeah, guys. So I know like a lot of you probably listen to us, and we talked about, staying in it and how it's difficult to stay on your goals and stuff like that. Especially with the holidays coming up. And that's what I've been kind of talking to my clients about right now. Because, so first and foremost, I want to like dive into like the holiday versus holidays. And this is what I mean when I say like you need to plan your fucking week out, because I understand like you have your boyfriend's family, your grandma, if even if your parents are separated and you go to things with your mom and your stepdad, and your dad and your stepmom or whatever, and boyfriends and things like that, and then you have your own siblings and they have family. So like Holiday can turn into holidays where there's like, and then on top of it, like a good example right now is Friendsgiving or Secret Santa and things like that, where all these events start piling up. And it's like, okay, first and foremost, you need to plan ahead in your schedule. I'm like, okay, well, there's 13 fucking dinners planned for this weekend. You're not going to eat out at all 13 of them if you actually have goals and you're serious about your goals. I'm sorry, but we have to put our foot down. I am very reasonable when it comes to flexibility and balance. We have talked about that, especially if you are not in a contest prep, you are not aggressively dieting for, whatever it may be. But if you are working on your physique, you are working on a healthier lifestyle. This also includes like not losing control around food, binging, like that. All entails into being healthier. So, like, first and foremost, you need to figure out what your schedule is, what the week ahead of you looks like, and kind of planning, like, okay, because I'm not going to go to Aunt Joe's house at fucking 2 p.m. and eat turkey, rice, potatoes, cranberry pudding. I don't even fucking know whatever people have at the holidays. I have no idea because I don't ever eat any of that food. So, with that being said, then you're not going to go to your grandma's house at 5, eat the same thing again. And then at 8 p.m., you're going to finish out at your own house because you're hosted it at 8 p.m., I guess, and eat that same meal for the third time today. And then on Friday, same thing. Like, so I think planning your week out and kind of like talking it through, I'm like, okay, like we have all of these plans, all of this food is going to be there. I need to figure out what is the most ideal? What is still going to be reasonable for me with my goals, but also how can I still enjoy this and not freak myself out or not overdo it?
And there's also like a problem like underlying, like you get so overwhelmed because like traveling and people's schedules, like I get how that's overwhelming, which is why it is so important to see how many events you are like you have on your calendar, how many you want to go to, and how many do you actually want to eat at. Because at the end of the day, like you are not under any obligation to eat the food all the time. Like there is something where it's like, oh, well, I don't want to be rude. So don't be fucking rude. Be present, talk to the host, talk to your family. But, like, there is nowhere in any law that says you have to eat Aunt Joe's pudding, grandma's turkey. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it does not need to be like that. And it's so important to understand that, like, you are in control. You are going to someone else's house. You can, show up. You can give the law of the land. You can communicate that, like, hey, I'm going to be doing this because this is important to me. It's a great opportunity to shake things up a little bit, to break the status quo, especially if you are someone where you are maybe a little bit of a black sheep and you're like, oh, well, I do want to like bring a meal, or I do want to like stay on my diet or stay on my goals. Like, it's a great educational opportunity, but like, don't silence yourself just so you have maybe like less anxiety. Like it's a great opportunity for you to educate and explain why this is important to you and leave it at that. Like, how many times have we said, oh, I don't want to be rude, or like, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings? Okay, well, what about your own feelings? What about your own goals? What about your own aspirations? Like, how many people like get up Thursday morning and they're like, oh, I have this plan ahead. And then by the time they lay their head down at night, they fucking blew up everything. Like all of their boundaries went out the door, all of their plans and stuff like that. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't have room to be flexible and adaptable, because absolutely you should. But like, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater because like you didn't want to stay true to what was important to you. So like with your scheduling, with the events, also write out what do you want? What is important to you? What are your non-negotiables? Because that is how you can plan for success for the entire week of shenanigans. And I get it. I was a kid of divorce. I had two separate grandparents' Thanksgivings. Maybe my dad had me for one. Maybe my mom had me for one. And like, I get it. It's a lot. Blended families are also a lot. But still, it's like you can show up with your meal. You can show up with no meal and take part. But regardless, you need to understand that you're a grown adult. You get to make decisions. And part of that decision-making process is what you put in your mouth.
No, I agree. And I really like what you said about like, your own boundaries and the I don't want to be rude, but like it's also kind of rude on the person who's pressuring you to
Oh, it's
push.
so rude.
But like we don't look at it like that way. Like, oh, it's rude if I don't eat, And like I get that that can be like a very cultural thing too for a lot of families, because I think like that is something I'm not familiar with, but like some people are like, you know, I don't know if it's like Italians or whatever it may be, but it's like rude to not eat their food that they offer that they've worked for and things like that. But I guess like I've never viewed it on the other side either, is like that's like rude for that person to push that and push your boundaries that you have in place. So I'm really happy that you said that. But I actually had a conversation with one of my girls 2 days ago about educating the other family and your system and support system and being like, hey, I just want you guys to know that like these are my goals and they're really important to me. And part of that is like not overdoing it or eating like an excess of food and like sticking to my plan and keeping my promise to myself. And, you know, here's what keeping that promise to myself looks and means to me, right? Like, and like to be in the bodybuilding realm of that, it's like, okay, my promise to myself is like, yeah, like these are my goals. I'm bringing my own food. Like, this is what it looks like to me. Like, me keeping that promise is me bringing my own food. And like, that's, you know, where I draw the line versus like someone whose lifestyle and the promise to them is like, well, I'm just like not going to have dessert. And that's nothing against you of the pumpkin pie that you took 20 hours to bake or however long it takes. But, you know, it's more so is like, well, that's what, you know, that boundary looks like to me is like, I'll eat, you know, Thanksgiving dinner, but that ends there. I don't want the extra desserts and things. And that's completely fine. It's just, what is that boundary? What is that standard? And then educating and even sometimes verbalizing it at those dinners.
Dude, communication, yes.
People don't know. And like, the more and more I get into like, just like coaching and like seeing other people's lives and dynamics for them, it's like, wow, people just don't know. And they don't know because we don't speak, right? Like everyone's like, throat chakras like clogged up. I don't know if you guys believe in the whole chakras and stuff like that, but it's like when it's difficult for you to speak in the spiritual world, it just says that like one of your chakras is clogged. And like I feel like it's very hard to communicate, whether that's from embarrassment or judgment or even just like insecurities on your own, because for the last however many years, you just show up and eat and stuff your face however you want, which is fine. And now it's different. And it's different and change is hard for ourselves, but it's hard for other people to watch us change too. And I think like people are like, oh, it's fine. It's just one meal or this or that. But again, it comes back to like, what is your boundary? What is your promise? Like, did you already have five other meals today? So that meal is like, no, I can't, you know? And it's okay to say no. It really fucking is, people.
It literally is. And I think it's great that you kind of brought up that little like snippet there, because I'm reading this book on Platonics. I'm doing it to not only help coaching and understand my athlete's psychology and client psychology, but also for myself and understanding like attachment styles. And a lot of the times we do not know how to be vulnerable because we view it as weakness, because where we are vulnerable is because where we experience shame. And some people are legit embarrassed of their goals. They're embarrassed to be laughed at. They are embarrassed to be judged. They're embarrassed to be outcast. And that is very, it's a very rare, a very real fear, especially if you are going against the grain and against the status quo from your family. And I can speak from experience on that because, like, again, not growing up very educated with nutrition and all that stuff, and then did not want to eat. And especially to eat to the feeling of like being sick, like how I would have before, you know, I wanted to take my health and fitness seriously. Like it was a very real fear that I experienced where I'm like, am I going to be judged? Are they going to make comments? And the thing is yes, that you will likely be judged. Yes, there will likely be comments, but you cannot control that. You cannot control others' actions or others' perceptions. All you can do is be kind, be respectful, be open-minded, because it's still a cultural shock to them. Absolutely. But you still remain true to what it is you want. Now, you can, you know, bring a meal if you need to. You can eat beforehand. Like, you can set boundaries or maybe portion control. Like, you are still in control of how you interact with your family and friends. And that is so important to remember.
I want to bring up the portion control because this is actually what I did with my girl that was like, we've been working together for 3 weeks now or 2 weeks now. And she was very nervous to go and have like this pasta dinner with her family. And she was like, I don't know what to do. I'm scared I'm going to mess up all my progress. Like in the past, I've just like blown it out of proportion. So I'm like, okay, we have that all or nothing mindset. And she's like, I'm probably not going to eat. And I was like, no, like your lifestyle, you need to learn how to have a free fucking meal and be okay with it. Right. Because for the rest of your life, you can't stick on a meal plan day in and day out. Like you're going to be in that same vicious cycle that you were in before you hired me of I lose 5 pounds, I gain 10, because you don't know balance. Okay. So let's work on it. So very scared. She's like, I don't want to ruin all my progress this week. And kudos to her because yesterday she weighed 137.6 and today she weighed 137.7 after this meal. So, you know, perfect. And I wanted her to exercise that because I wanted her to sh it to show. First of all, we know the scale isn't the biggest impact, but nonetheless, it was cool to see that, right? So, what did I do with her? And this is something that you guys can do too, going into your meals for the holidays. I'm always like, okay, make sure you eat, you know, your breakfast. Don't go into the meal starving. You know, eat meal one, eat meal two. If your Thanksgiving dinner is like at 4 or whatever, right? Eat something. Okay. Don't go into the shit starving. Make sure you're well hydrated as well. We don't want, you know, because obviously we know if you guys are not hydrated, like that throws off your hunger cues and you can appear to be starving when really you're just fucking dehydrated. But the biggest exercise that we did, and I do this a lot with my people because this is what I learned when I was going through like my eating disorder, like binging and things like that, is okay, so you're hungry, get your plate. Don't fill the whole plate. All right. There is this thing. I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but you can go up and get seconds. You can get more. You don't have to take it all at once. I know. Wild concept,
Like
huh?
the buffet mentality where you're like loading up your first plate.
Dude, honestly, yes. And that happens at holidays. I see it all the time. It's like, okay, just relax. So I'm like, all right, go get really small portions. You want to try a little bit of everything? That's fine. So take a little bit, take a little tiny spoonful of everything. Sit down, ask yourself, 0 to 10, how hungry are you? Okay, probably maybe an 8 because it's time to actually eat. All right, finish that plate, you know, take a sip of water, sit there, conversate with the people. 10, 15 minutes, rate your hunger again. If you're still, I said, if you're still anywhere from like 7 to 10 on that hunger scale, go up. Allow yourself to have a second serving of a few things that you really enjoyed. You know, if you liked, I really like the side of sweet potatoes with marshmallows. I think I'll have more of that. Awesome. Great idea. Take more of that. If you sit there and you're like, oh man, like my hunger, I'm like at like a 2. I feel really stuffed. I'm not comfortable. Or I'm uncomfortable. Yeah. You don't have to. Don't force yourself to get any more. Caveat here too. If you are at that like 7 to 10 and you're like, man, I'm pretty hungry, but I know dessert's coming. I think I'll wait for dessert versus going and getting that second plate. And then if you have dessert and you're just like, all right, I'm content, or I may need a little bit taste of something else, that's fine too. And this is like typically, you know, a good learning thing for people too, because if you blow it out of proportion, then you'll know for Christmas. Okay, cool. Well, Thanksgiving, I was kind of an a-hole and was like 10 out of 10 on the fullness, was trying to exercise this, didn't do a good job. Now I have the chance to do it again and I can do better. And like, I think that like motivates people too. So it's like, yeah, we don't necessarily want you to fail, but if you do fail, like the cool thing about the holidays is like, there's another one coming. You can retry and
But
do it again.
literally, like the try again mentality is so important to recognize because, like, how many times have you and I tried in the past where we did fail? But again, we felt shame from that failure. So, therefore, Christmas, what did we do? Instead of, hey, I get to try again, I get to challenge myself, we restricted. We overly restricted. And it kind of was like when you pull a rubber band back, you build up that kinetic potential, or when you release it, hits you in the fucking face, right? It is so important to realize where it's like, guys, if you goof, own it, assess the situation, see why you goofed, and then make a game plan. But a lot of the times, like, we are so inwardly focused on food, judgment, like anxiety, where it's like, you guys, it's just food. Like, at the end of the day, literally, it's just food. And yes, it's different food, it's special food, it's, you know, familial food, comfort food. Childhood memories, food. Absolutely. I'm not saying that Thanksgiving and Christmas or any other holiday you may participate with, you know, your family and friends isn't important, but like, don't have the emphasis on just stuffing your face, right? Like, I feel like a lot of the times it's like, oh, Thanksgiving only comes around a year. I gotta get my sweet potato casserole. Yeah, get your sweet potato casserole. But also ask your grandma how she's doing. Ask your family how they're doing, what's new. Like, I do have a client that we are working on kind of restructuring her thought process around nutrition. So we're no longer tracking anything. We are doing mindful checks with meals. And she was like, she expressed her frustration that it was really hard to be mindful when she's eating a meal with someone. And essentially, it came down to like, it's not always about you. Like it doesn't need to always be about you. Like it is a good practice to pull away from yourself and how you view your hunger, your food, whatever, and talk about the other person. Because like the other person, they might be having struggles too that maybe they don't know how to talk about. But it's like just ask the other person like basic human questions, like develop that relationship because you will feel better. And if you're using stuff like the HALT method, which is like kind of like an addiction recovery process where it's like, are you actually hungry, angry or anxious, lonely or tired? It's like, it's so important to, yes, bring that awareness. But again, it's a spectrum. Is it hyperfixation where it's like too many inputs and your brain feels like a bag of marbles? Or is it like, hey, I am hungry, but I'm also with someone. So I'm going to eat. I'm going to like check in with myself if the conversation has a lull. But it doesn't always need to be about the food. It can be about the environment and the company that you keep too.
Yeah, I really like that. I like that. I think a lot of it too, I was actually just thinking about this because you said this is like, yes, it's comfort food, or it's like, hey, like this only comes around like once a year. But like, why? Like, why is it only
Bitch,
once?
I'm not cooking a fucking 14-pound turkey every single week.
Yeah, but like most people don't crave the turkey. That's what I'm talking about. Most people aren't like, oh yeah, I need like a huge ass turkey. Like, trust me. That has never been someone like, I mean, I like turkey, like, don't get me wrong, but like, most people like, whatever, those sweet potatoes, the side dishes of like green beans and whatever stuffing and shit like that. Like, you can make that any time of the year. But I think like it's the hype of like, oh, this is only once a year. I have to get it all in now. Again, it's that all or nothing mindset. Man, we should like, I mean, they have Christmas in July. Like, there should be like, what, turkey in June? We can come up with something better
We'll
than
come up
that.
with something. But dude, like I do like that mentality or playing with similar ingredients because that's actually something that I did. It's like I really listen, I'm one of those weirdos. I grew up with like cranberry sauce or cranberry dressing from the can. So essentially it looks like a fucking pig snout because it's like jellified cranberry, which I don't even know if they have real cranberries in it. I don't think it does. I think it's just like extract. But I wanted to make real cranberry relish from scratch and like it has become one of my favorite things for Thanksgiving. So what did I do? I was like, oh, well, if I like cranberry relish or whatever, chances are I probably still like fucking cranberries. Costco, God bless, had a big ass bag of cranberries. You know what I did? I dehydrated them and put them with my green beans. I made Eric these like little Danish things with a cranberry jelly in the middle. Like I used the same ingredients that I typically would only make for Thanksgiving, and I extended the shelf life to play and be creative. And it's like, now it's like when I have my cranberry relish, it's like, okay, well, yeah, I'm gonna have it because it's good, but it doesn't need to be the, oh, I got to make it count because I'm only like snorfing this down like for one day only. Like your food is not a one day JCPenney sale. It is not like, it doesn't need to be like that. You know what I'm saying? It's not like a Black Friday deal or a Cyber Monday deal. Like it is something that you can incorporate if you want any time of the year. It's just like the consumerism culture has us by a chokehold to be like, you have to do it this day or it's wrong, you're bad. And it doesn't need to be like that.
Yeah, no, like honestly, people, it again, it's just like that all or nothing mindset. And that's what it comes down when you like sit down in front of that plate and you're like, I'm gonna eat everything, or I have to attend every single Friendsgiving, this, that, and whatever. All, like you said, you grew up in that where you multiple different families or households for like dinner and stuff like that. So it's like planning your week out. It's okay to say no, like you don't have to always just be like, yep, I'll be there. Yep, I'll eat. It utilize your power of yourself and your boundaries. And I think like once you start getting away from that all or nothing mindset, it becomes a lot easier. Like I said, like I've been there where I've sat down and eaten everything in front of the fucking table. And then there's been times where I was so nervous to eat that I didn't eat at all because I don't feel like I have the control. So I just won't eat. I'll just remove myself from this. And like, that's not healthy. One, physically. And then like, two, mentally, it's not either, right? Because it becomes back to that restriction. And then maybe 3 days down the road, when you see all of the leftovers in the refrigerator, you fucking slam them, right?
Dude,
And
I remember one Thanksgiving that it was like kind of part of my like the blur between extreme anorexia and like starting to like do that like rubber band pullback into bulimia because that's a pretty common trend where your body tries to like find homeostasis and auto-regulate again because you've been restricting so long. And this is how impactful this Thanksgiving was for me. I still fucking remember it. I couldn't really tell you the last few Thanksgivings, like family, I love them, but like I couldn't tell you how monumental it was, because like they were just happy memories, and that's my happy memory bank. This one Thanksgiving was so traumatic because of how I viewed it. I restricted all week thinking and preparing for this Thanksgiving dinner with my grandparents that they hosted every single year. But the day of, my stepdad made like monkey bread, which is like, I don't know, like sweet caramel fucking bread with pecans. I binged so hard on that. And then for the Thanksgiving, like the Thanksgiving was a dinner, and so like we were like on our own for lunch. He got like, yo, this is back when Subway footlongs for $5. So I'm kind of dating myself there. He got Subway. I ate an entire footlong sub. And then I was so sick from like binging on other like snicks and snacks before Thanksgiving. The actual Thanksgiving meal, I was so sick. I could barely eat anything. And then it was also embarrassing because this was the first time that Eric was coming over for Thanksgiving with my family. And it was awful. It was awful because I was awful to myself. So that is just like me being honest. Don't fucking do that, please.
It's like that guilt that like keeps you awake at night. That was
I
always it for me.
cried. Yeah.
Even like, I'm trying to remember if I did it with a coach. I think I did.
Yeah.
I would feel like so guilty, like having to like check in and be honest and like ashamed. And like that feeling like reminds me like that I'm not even, like you said, like respecting or honoring myself, honoring my promises. Like, and I don't like feeling like that. Like, I feel terrible, not only physically, but like mentally. And like, I don't want to fucking feel like that. So like, why would I do the things that are making me feel that way? And like, that's hard to kind of like conceptualize, but like when you do it enough and you're like constantly in that vicious cycle or, you know, taking a ride on the merry-go-round, you're like, Jesus Christ, like I need to get off this because this is terrible. And then you start to realize, like, oh, getting off of it, yeah, even though it looks like everyone is having fun on the merry-go-round, they're really not. They're just sitting there in a circle, seeing the same thing over and over, versus when you get off and you get to walk away and see the rest of the world you didn't know even existed. So it's like once you start to stray away, you're like, is the grass really greener? And it fucking is. But like you've been so stuck in the same spot that you don't know. And it's hard because we always want to go back to that comfort of whatever it may be. But when you live in that like misery or uncomfortableness of like binging and all of that stuff, it's like, Jesus, this is not it. This is not fucking it, right?
Dude, I know. It put like it's literally such a bad taste in my mouth, like pun not really intended, that I was like, I hate Thanksgiving, it's the worst holiday. No, it's not. It's a great holiday to reflect on being thankful and to reflect on all your blessings and to spend time with family. And so I was like, how can I like rewire my brain here? And I was like, when you are an adult, I want you to host Thanksgiving, and I want you to invite family and friends, and I want you to turn this one bad predicament into something that actually brings you joy. And ever since then, I think this is like the sixth or seventh year we've hosted Thanksgiving. It's a blast, right? It's so fun to cook. It's so fun to host and have family and friends over, where I look forward to Thanksgiving, where Eric and I start planning, I swear to God, in July. We're like, how big is the turkey gonna be this year?
And it's like interesting because you're like, this may sting for people. It may sting for you when I say this too, but it's like you were like, I hate Thanksgiving so much. It's the worst holiday, but you made it that way for
I
yourself.
did.
And
Yeah.
like, that's hard. That's what we talk about. I feel like every single podcast is like that self-acceptance or like that self-realization that you are the fucking problem. And like, that's hard. But like, same thing
Yeah.
for me. Like, I was the fucking problem. And then like, you know, I think one of my hardest Thanksgivings was when I was reversing through it because that, yeah, I mean, I was probably 7 weeks post-show at this time. So right in the mix of kind of wrapping it up. And but I was also going through a breakup too. And like, oh my God, like emotionally, I was a wreck. And that was like such a hard Thanksgiving for me. And I just remember like sitting at the table, like I can feel my anxiety talking about it right now. I'm like, do I eat? Do I not eat? Because at this point, like I had a very good prep. I was very aware of like my history of like binge eating and like, you know, definitely kind of worked through that through therapy and guidance. And it was such a mental struggle for me because it's like, do I eat? Do I not eat? Like, I don't know what to do. Like, I want to stick to my reverse. And my coach was like, you know, very supportive. She's like, whatever you decide, like, it's not gonna derail. Like, I have faith in you. I have confidence. But still, it was like this is hard because I didn't want to put on excess body fat. I didn't want to fuck up my hormones. I wanted to compete again. I knew how important reversing was. And my first reverse, I binged constantly after. So I was having like that PTSD of like, oh my God. And also, like we talked about, or you said before, it's like, I have to, you know, this only comes around once a year. I had those thoughts too. So it was very, very hard for me. But I think at the end of the day, like I did end up enjoying what I wanted to, ate a little bit, you know, here and there. And then the biggest thing for me was the next day I got right back on plan. And after 3 days, you know, my body went right back to where it was. I think like I was up a little bit in weight, obviously, like, you know, excess glycogen and sodium and things like that, and just stress. But like for me, I was like very, very sensitive at that time too. And I knew because I was educated that my hunger hormones were going to be through the fucking roof
Oh,
after
yeah.
like overindulging and eating more calories than what I was used to. Because still, 8 weeks post show, I was maybe only up, you know, 800 calories almost, 600 calories or whatever it was. But like 600 calories from 900 is really,
Yeah.
you know, it's not that it's like, oh, 600 calories seems like a lot, but when you're only eating 900 calories and your fucking cardio output for the whole week is 2000, you're like, shit, you know? So it's like, yeah, my body was still sensitive. And then, like, I knew my hormones still needed a lot of work. So it was like that signaling was out of control. And that was hard. It was definitely hard.
Absolutely. I think a very valuable asset, and you and I are very similar, where it's like, and people that have like anxiety and anxiety prone tendencies, we get overwhelmed by our thoughts and by ourselves. And that overwhelm causes us to make decisions out of emotion and not out of logic. So before the hustle and bustle of the holidays comes, make yourself like a decision tree, or think about like, when the holidays are done, or at least when Thanksgiving is done, what do you want it to look like? Like, how do you want your week to look? What do you want your actions to reflect? In this way, not only can you like think about critically like what you want, but also like think about your actions. And at the end of the day, like, yes, we can plan for everything, and maybe this isn't the best exercise for some, but just thinking about like what will give me the most peace when Saturday comes. So 2 days post Thanksgiving, will I be ridden with anxiety? Will I be disappointed in myself for screwing up, going off plan? Or will I, like Ash, get right back on track, back on plan? Right. And I think it's so important because a lot of the times we have like this envision of how things go, and our reality doesn't match up with that vision. And so it gets really even more emotionally distressing when we feel like we really screwed the pooch there because we were like grandiose in our envision and life just didn't work out that way. And so again, while I'm not saying that you need to like plan everything perfectly because that doesn't exist, like what will bring you the most peace Friday morning, Saturday morning? Is it eating the Thanksgiving meal with your family? Is it, you know, eating your meal, bringing your meal when you're in prep? Like wherever your whatever your context is, what will bring you the most peace on Friday morning? And whatever that looks like, hold yourself accountable. Tell your coach. Maybe tell your spouse if you have someone supportive, or tell your friends if you have someone supportive. Maybe be vulnerable and tell your family. Like, it is not that big of a deal. It is just the big deal to you. And so it's important to kind of put that into perspective too.
That's the thing. Like I've been posting that a lot on my story about like how I eat different meals, and I always caption it like it's not that big of a deal. And I'm starting to realize like the things are not that big of a deal, and we just make them monumental. We really do. And it's like this is a perfect situation of like how, yes, I understand that this can be a big deal because it is like obviously a lot of food and past whatever everything we've just discussed in this, but like who's making it a big deal? Like, what are the emotions behind it? Those are yours. You know, that's the reality of it. Like the facts are is like all this is just a dinner with family, with friends, with food. Like that's it. That's literally it. And maybe you wear like a nice outfit instead of your PJs. Like the facts are like this is not that big of a deal. So like how you address it and how you go about it is like you just continue on as you would. And like taking that emotion out of it like makes it so much. And I think that's like why people like me and you are can be more wildly successful at this is because like yes, we used to be in your same shoes with all the emotion, with all the hype. Like we just explained that, like the all or nothing, the binge eating, like how is this gonna mess me up? And like now it's like, all right, well, this is just fun. I mean, it's just like typically like Me and you live like Groundhog Days day in and day out. Like we have the same shit. So like this is just like a spice and things that are different, right? But essentially, like at the end of the day, like we sit down, you're still having a meal. There may just be a few more people surrounding you. It may have look a little bit nicer, but like it's still a protein, carbs, fat. It's still gonna digest the same way. You're still gonna shit it out. Like at the end of the day, it's seriously not that big of a deal. And like maybe I'll get backlash for saying that, but when you take the emotion out of it, it makes it so much easier. And then you're not laying in bed having that guilt, having that resentment. Because even if your coach is like, hey, you can have 10 fucking servings of mashed potatoes and it's not gonna affect you, and they're giving you that permission, but like if you still feel shitty at the end of the night, like again, that's like on you, right? Like so like at the end of the day, it's like whether you have the permission or not, like you need to find like your boundaries, and then you need to find out like what energy you're actually putting into it. Because if it's a lot more than needs to be, like that's the bigger portion of it. It's not the actual food, it's not the quantity, it's not this or that. It's just like the emotional tie to it and the perception you have of this event.
Don't let your anxiety and the future of unknowns rob you of what's truly important. Like what I've really been speaking about with my clients lately is like, focus on what matters. Don't be so worried about doing the wrong thing that it keeps you from doing the right thing. This is no different. Like, do the right thing, make the right choices. And if you do goof up, assess the situation. Like, don't stay down in the dumps. Don't like flagellate yourself. Don't overly restrict. Just look at what happened. Look at what actions you took. Understand why did you not like those actions, and try again. Because once we get through Thanksgiving, in a month you have Christmas, and maybe instead of turkey, maybe you have your Christmas ham. Or for me, my beef tenderloin, because I think ham is gross, but I know Ash loves ham, and I love that for you. Love that you love ham. She's like, I love ham. But it's like, it literally is just food. And it's going to be there today. It's going to be there tomorrow. Like, your family might not be. You know what I'm saying? Like, spend time with your family. Spend time doing what matters. Like, I don't know whatever family traditions you guys have, but enjoy them, right? Like, literally enjoy them. Because I'm sure when you see your relatives, they're going to be like, oh, I remember when you were like a baby or 2 years old. It's like, and now you're fucking almost 30. It's like time goes by so quickly. And for some people's Thanksgiving, it gets bigger and bigger as kids are born. And unfortunately, for some people's Thanksgiving, it gets smaller because people pass away. Focus on your family, focus on your friends. Like, it's just like legit. I know we keep saying it's just food, but dog, it is just food. Focus on what matters.
I agree. Like I said, like if you are worried and you are still like in the start of this and you don't have like that mentality, like, or I should say emotional depth to understand that it is just food, work on the things we talked about that we exercise, like make sure you're hydrated, make sure you eat before you go, have those conversations and educate other family members, support systems, boyfriends, girlfriends, whoever it is. And then rate your hunger, rate your fullness, go in with a plan, tell yourself like, hey, like I'm going to start off with a small plate and I'm going to see how I feel afterwards. And then I'm either going to have dessert, a second plate, or both. Like, go in with a plan. Don't just go in with a whole bunch of fear and anxiety, because then that's going to heighten the situation. So, utilize those tools, And then, like I said, just planning your week out. And, one meal off plan is not going to derail any fucking progress, but also one good meal is not going to make any progress either. So, it's like getting back on plan, getting back to your promises, your boundaries, and your goals. Having that balance is okay. Like that one bad meal is really not going to affect you that much in the grand scheme of things. But if you keep having multiple bad meals every week, week after week, that's where the issue comes from. So it's like, hey, allow yourself to have this, learn from it, make it a learning experience, make it fun. Ash now has fun on her Thanksgivings. That's what it should be about.
Yeah, set yourself up for success and don't do things to punish yourself. Like, if you do overdo it, do not go to the gym twice a day for the next 2 weeks. Like, don't overly restrict. Don't be like, oh, I ate 5,000 calories. I need to eat 500 the next few days. Like, I understand about calorie balance. I get it. But like, again, when you tighten that restriction and encourage that mindset, all you're doing is pulling that rubber band back to slap you in the face. So it's like, it's just not that big of a deal. And again, I've done all the things. I did the over restriction, I did the binging, I did the compensation of exercise, and all you were doing is just prolonging your misery. Right. And it's already getting cold. People are already getting miserable because it's cold. Like, I get it, but like, don't just cut off your nose to spite your face. Like, again, it's so important to have ownership and self-awareness. But like Ash said, if you are newer in that journey and you're trying to develop it, this is a great chance to practice and try, right? Like, that's all this is an opportunity. And like I said, if you screw the pooch, you get to try again in a month. You screw the pooch again, you get to try again in a year because the Thanksgiving and Christmas happen every year.
All the time, guys, on
All
repeat.
the time. As far as
Yeah.
I've been alive, and I've been alive for almost 30 years. So
Here we are.
here we
There
are.
you have them already. That's fucking hilarious.
Dude, like, just have some fun. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it. I used to hate holidays, especially when I was in like the thick of my eating disorders, when I was newer in bodybuilding, because I was so consumed about what others thought of me. And I failed to realize others just wanted to see me. Like, that's all they wanted. They wanted to see me. They wanted to know how I was doing. They wanted to love me. And I was so worried about hating myself that I fucked it up.
Yep. I mean, it's hard. It's hard when you're struggling on your own, but then again, it's like people just want to be there for you. And
Yeah.
whatever way that is, whatever way that is, bringing your own food, you know, only eating half a plate, whatever it may be, you know, they just want to support you and like that's it.
Yes.
In whatever way, 'cause they do love you know?
They do. And of course, there are some families and friends that the way that they handle their own awkwardness and discomfort is probably making unwanted comments. Or when they express curiosity, maybe it sounds a little bit judgmental. Try your best to give people benefit of the doubt. But if, of course, they've repeatedly shown you that they are just trying to be hostile, just take a breath and move on. Because I understand that not everyone's family is like the Leave It to Beaver childhood where there's never any conflict. There are some people that going for the holidays is very stressful because maybe they don't have a good relationship with their family or their friends or whatever. One, you don't also have to go. Again, you're kind of circling back. You're still an adult. But if you feel obligated to go and you choose to go, remind yourself that you can't control what goes or what comes out of other people's mouths. And if it is anything but unkind and unloving, you know, forgive them. Forgive them for their own issues, for their ignorance, for their judgment. Because, like, at the end of the day, just it steals you from your peace and it shouldn't keep you from doing what you want to do with your life. And it's like, I remember I got on one of comments about my portion size when I was deep into eating disorder. I had some green beans and a little slice of ham. And they were like, you need to eat more. You need to put some meat on those bones. And it made me hate Christmas. And like, again, it's like it caused me to feel an emotion that wasn't true because of others and their perception of me. And like at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter as much as I place that emphasis on because it's in the past. And I can't control what goes out of others' mouths. I can only control what comes out of mine. And I probably could have handled the situation better back then, but the nice thing is I got to try again.
That's all it is, guys. Live and learn. That's all I got.
And I
Live and
did
learn.
put some meat on these bones.
Yeah. Love that. Love it. Love it. That's what we want. That's all I got, guys. I mean, I know holidays are hard, but you know, they're doable and you know, you'll get better each time.
It does. Like literally, like we talked about this entire podcast about our own experiences. Like they're better now. Like they are. It just took time. It took maturation. It took, oh, my cat's ass is in the way. It took time. It took maturation. It took just skin in the game. It took trial and error. It took a lot of fucking errors, a lot of fucking trials. But like now it's like we hopefully look forward to the holidays, having people over, like making food that we don't normally meet. But it's just like, I'm just excited to cook a Thanksgiving turkey with Eric. I'm excited to when family and friends leave and it's just Eric and I. I'm excited for our post-Thanksgiving walk and we reflect on like how the day went, if the turkey was a success, if I fucked up the stuffing, like we just talk, we have conversation. And then he usually has round two Thanksgiving because that's what he likes to do. And I'm content with my fucking pecan pie belly and I just move on with my life.
Like, and that's all. That's all I got.
That's all I got. Oh, speaking of Thanksgiving edition, pecan or pumpkin pie, considering it's gluten and dairy free.
Don't like either of them.
Okay, well, what would be your Thanksgiving dessert?
Oreo pie.
Okay, at least it's a pie. It's like just
Yeah.
an Oreo.
No. Yeah. So like, I could probably do pumpkin pie, but like growing up, we like made it from scratch. And the way that like the pumpkin would come out of those big giant cans, the smell of it was like just so ungodly for me as a kid. So I don't like it now. It's weird. But like I'll eat like pumpkin from a can, like ew, in like oatmeal and stuff. It's weird. I don't know. It's like a PTSD thing from my childhood. But what's yours, pecan or pumpkin?
So honestly, I like a good pumpkin pie. I do. I'm just gonna own it. I've been through 10 cans. Bless you. I've been through 10 cans of pumpkin thus far this year, once like fall, like the fall season's hit.
That was
So
like last week, and you've already had 10 fucking
I would
pounds.
say in a span of a month, I've gone through 10 cans of pumpkin, and I just don't give a fuck. It's good. I like pumpkin pie. I've never made it from scratch from like the actual gourd. I've only done like the canned, like your family has, but everyone else in my family likes pecan pie. So it's like either I make two pies and I just have a fucking pumpkin pie to myself, which is like, eh, or I just do the crowd pleaser and do the pecan pie. So I always make the pecan pie. But this year, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna get a little can of pumpkin and make like a little single.
Just like a little tiny one. That's honestly what you need to do. Like your
Yes.
own personal pan pie.
Literally gonna get little graham crackers, like put some butter in a crust and kind of like smush it down in the cup and just do a little like dollop of like pumpkin and like mix some stevia in it. 'Cause like again, like I just love the pumpkin taste and I always make my own pumpkin spice mix. So it's like I'll do that, but everyone likes my pecan pie, so I guess I gotta make that.
Love that though. It's good because you're good at it, right?
That's true.
But that's all I got, guys. I mean, what are your favorite pies? Let us know.
Hey, what are your favorite pies? But again, just remember, plan ahead, eat before you go. Like, don't go into the meal starving. Like, check in with yourself, stay hydrated, but make memories. Make memories. Don't make like your fears come true. Don't make regrets. Just make good memories.
Yep, that's all we can ask for. Enjoy, guys.
Enjoy and happy Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Peace.
Adios.